This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
In education over the next several days here on the program, and Superintendent Terry Prestiani joining us this afternoon. Terry, thanks for being on.
Good afternoon, Kyle. Thanks for having us here.
So I guess, first of all, let's kind of review the past few months, the coming school or the school year we're in right now. How have things gone?
You know, actually, we're right at the midway point here in just another week or two, and it's gone really well. Obviously, we're glad to be out of the COVID restrictions, and that made a huge difference, of course. School year's gone really well, and trying to get everything back to normal.
What do you feel like the biggest challenges have been for this school year?
I think most people would say the same thing. I think staffing has been a challenge. I think that we've begun the year pretty much fully staffed, but in many of our classified positions, we have a bit of a revolving door. So it's difficult to keep at full staff, but we are making it happen.
What about how do you address those when you've got staff shortages? You've got kids that need assistance for various things. What do you do when you've got those shortages?
Obviously we try to find substitutes and when those are available, and we do have substitutes for our classified positions at times. And then obviously we have some substitute teachers. As far as teaching is concerned, we've hired some semi-permanent substitutes who work for us every day, and that's helped quite a bit in the teaching realm. But again, I think we come back to what educators do is we make things happen, and we move people around, and it's still a little bit like COVID. We have administrators running groups and teachers running groups and people doubling up. So if we can't find substitutes, we're just making it happen with the staff we have.
So for this school year, any new administrators or what you might call key positions that have been hired?
We did have someone who's very well known to Douglas County move into our district in a key role. Mr. Mike Narkowitz came from Glide and is now our middle school principal. But other than that, most of our administrative staff are back that we've had for several years. So, yes, he's been a key hire and a great addition to our administrative staff.
And what's his role again?
He is the middle school principal at Sutherland Middle School.
So what about programs? Any new programs, particularly at the middle school or the high school level, that you're rolling out this year?
You know, no new real programs that are anything different than what we've normally done. One of the things that we have found pretty exciting is there is a teacher recruit and retention grant that is used to is meant to be used to, again, recruit teachers and help retain them. One of the things that we chose to do with some of that those dollars is give teachers a chance to do passion projects. They could get a certain amount of money for a number of teachers to collaborate together and do some passion projects that they have for kids. And that seems to have been really successful and is continuing to grow. So that's been pretty cool. We have like our lifetime fitness classes are having chances to go to Eugene to the trampoline facility and do experience other things they wouldn't. We've added a lot of equipment and a cooking class to our middle school with some of that money. And the middle school PE teachers fixing up the girls' locker room. Just some really exciting stuff that's good for education and good for kids.
What are some of these passion projects that some of the teachers have had?
Well, like I said, one of the ones was we have a teacher who teaches lifetime fitness, and they do a lot of weightlifting and other activities. They had a chance to go to the trampoline facility in Eugene. and they're doing that multiple times. Again, it's just getting kids out and doing something different. The expansion of our cooking classes, our culinary classes at the middle school has been big. I think a lot of these, a lot of hands-on classes have had gone away in the past for a number of reasons, and we're trying to bring those back. And the passion projects have been able to help fulfill the needs in some of those.
Around Douglas County, we've got a lot of aging infrastructure. Do you have any building projects that are underway in the Sutherland School District?
We have a few that we completed this summer. We were able to, over a couple of summers, using capital improvement funds to re-side one of our newest buildings, East Primary, and get that re-sided and painted. We've had painting projects at most of our schools, including painting our the high school and getting that all repainted. And then we are looking into a couple other things. We do have a seismic retrofit grant that we will be finalizing and doing this summer on the middle school. So there is quite a bit going on, yes.
And these retrofit seismic grants seem to really allow districts to address a lot of things that oftentimes they don't find any other way to fund.
Yeah, and we're hoping that's the case with this. Obviously, the main goal is to stabilize buildings in case of a major seismic activity. But yeah, in the process, you can a lot of times get new windows and doors and make a building much more energy efficient and more efficient for education. So that's kind of what we're hoping out of that, and we're excited to see how that turns out.
Now, how is enrollment looking this year? I'm hearing various things around the county. Is it up, down, pretty flat, or what are you seeing?
We're very close to pre-COVID enrollment right now. Prior to COVID, we had a little bit of an anomaly. We had a couple of large classes, so we were probably in the just above 1,400 students. And now we're probably around 1,375, 1,380. And we have a very small kindergarten class for the first time. So I'm not sure if that's, again, an anomaly or not. But we're pretty close to where we average over the last 10 years prior to COVID.
Now, during COVID, kind of at the front end of things, what all virtual, educators began to look forward, and what came out of that was, in one realm of thought, was that for some students, not the majority, but for some, the virtual option oftentimes was a more successful one. What kind of options do you have virtually this year?
Well, we haven't added anything, and we haven't kept everything that we were doing during COVID. For about the last 7 years, we've had Sutherland Valley Online Academy, which is an alternative program that has an online curriculum. Students have the ability to attend the school on a daily basis, and many of them do not, and they attend virtually only. So we have been running that program for about the last 7 years. It's expanded. It expanded over COVID to include grades K through 6. And then after COVID this year, we found that the K through 5 piece was not working well, and so we are not offering that anymore. But we currently have grades 6 through 12 at Sutherland Valley Online Academy. There are about 100 students in that that program at this particular time, and about 30 to 40 of them actually attend on campus.
Now, are you seeing any mental health issues with the pandemic still impacting kids?
You know, I would say that yes. I think that there were issues prior to COVID, and COVID may have had a significant impact on and made those issues greater, but they were here before COVID. So I think that problem has been here for a while, and it continues to get worse for, I guess, a number of reasons, not just COVID. So yes, we are dealing with that at this time.
And I know some of my reading of education materials around the country says that probably more mental health services are going to be needed for at least the short term and maybe the long term. What are your thoughts?
There is a definite need for long-term mental health services across the nation. I think that many of the rural counties, including Douglas County, there's a real lack of mental health services for a number of reasons, and many of them I can't explain. And so it's a long-term thing that I think we need to look at throughout the state of Oregon and the nation, and we're doing the best we can provide those services to our students ourselves with the help of any outside organization we can get.
Now, do you see that in the future there might be more partnerships with groups like ADAPT or other places that have got those resources maybe better in place?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably our only hope for those programs to grow. Currently, we have our own school counselors. We have a school counselor in all of our schools and two at the high school. And then we also have our own school-based therapist who we contracted from another organization last year, but that person and that position currently is with our own school. So we are trying to provide our own as much as we possibly can. I will say that there have ADAPT has done some outreach programs, and we are cooperating with them right now in working on some stuff to happen at our secondary level with them. So, yes, there will be a lot more cooperation.
Near the front end, you brought up staffing and the shortage issue. Are you concerned that more people are leaving the field of education in general for other career paths? I mean, do you see this being a long-term issue?
Oh, it's definitely going to be a long-term issue. In having conversations with secondary ed, most programs around the state have record lows of students who are going into and completing teacher education programs, and that's going to be a serious problem for a long time. Obviously, if the number of young people increase today in those programs, you're talking another 3 to 4 years before they even come out of the system. So, yes, that's going to be a serious problem. I think we're probably going to have to rethink the way schools look. We're going to have to rethink the way we teach classes. And again, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but something's got to give somewhere. Luckily, I think we've been tried really hard to grow our own within Douglas County, and in particular here in Sutherland. So we've had a pretty good number of teachers rise through the ranks from being an instructional assistant, going back to school and becoming a teacher. Those kind of things have saved us right now, and I hope we can continue that in the future.
What about future building needs? I know you've had some things going. You mentioned a few things, but up the road, are there potential needs for additional buildings or maybe large modifications to some of the current buildings?
I think, if you look around Douglas County and you look at the age of our school buildings, I think every superintendent would answer yes, that there are projects that do need to happen. We're going to continue to go after grant funding like we have with the seismic retrofit. And right now we're in the process of building another long-range facilities plan, which would look at, those kind of things. We hope to have that done by March, and that will guide what we do in the future. But yes, we are continuing to use capital improvement to expand what we can, then we will obviously look at other methods in the future, depending on what our 5-year facility, long-range facilities plan says.
Now, in the last couple of years, districts have gotten some additional assistance. It comes with different names, but essentially pandemic federal funds that maybe sometimes went to the state and then to the local level, and that's helped a lot of districts address coming through the pandemic. Are those funds still in place? Are there money that you're still getting for this school year? And what about beyond that?
Yeah, there are funds coming through ESSER, which is the Elementary and Secondary Emergency Relief Fund. Those funds are still there. Those pots of money have been distributed now. School districts are spending them as wisely as they possibly can. With most things that most funding, they come with pretty tight restrictions as to what you can and can't do. But we've been able to use those, we think, pretty wisely in updating our heating and air conditioning systems in almost every school, getting them as close to performing well as we possibly can. We've done that with those funds, and we're continuing. We still have some more projects to do. We were able to bring in another and set another modular classroom for our special education programs. That's been a big help. And, you know, we're actually able to build some new playgrounds with that money to get kids outside and active. And so, yeah, that the money has, that funding has been very helpful. You know, again, though, it doesn't necessarily solve all your facilities problems because you can't just build a whole new building or a whole new school. But we're doing the best we can with it.
And do you see kind of an end to those additional funding streams?
Yes, I do believe that the third round of ESSER funds ends, must be spent by September of 2024. So, yes, they will end. One of the things we've tried very hard to do is not rely on those funds for staffing, so that when they do end, you don't hit a financial cliff where you are laying staff off. So we've tried very hard to not rely on it for staffing or long-term fixes.
Technology has been an area that schools have really had to shift on. Things are changing so quickly. Do you feel like you're able to keep up, or are there some new purchases needed, whether it's devices for students or bigger technology infrastructure for an entire building or maybe even for the whole district?
You know, I think we have been able to keep up. I think we were doing pretty well prior to the pandemic, and with technology, we have a great IT director and technology cadre that works on that. But COVID, some of the funds from ESSER did allow us to purchase more devices, so we definitely are one-on-one with students, and we have a lot of other, like Promethean boards and really good technology within our buildings right now. But it does, and we are planning for to upgrade the bandwidth. So many students are using so many devices in creative ways that we need to upgrade that bandwidth and the service we can get with that. So there does come a few problems, but I think we're ahead of the game. We just have to keep moving forward.
For the school board, are there special things or areas of emphasis they're working on this year?
You know, we really have three goals that are set around that long-range facilities plan. One of them is just to complete the plan, have the plan complete, and set up a method and find out how we can implement that plan to allocate the resources in the proper places to do that. So our first goal does come around that. And then the second goal is very closely related. It's just facility upgrades. It's just defining what we need to do and how we can get those facilities upgraded. And the third one really is about engaging our students in learning and engaging our students in the community. So that goal really is something that we're encouraging teaching staff to do, building staff to do, get our kids out in the community, become active members and make them successful citizens. So they've been working on that, and I think that's been happening quite a bit.
What do you feel like the biggest accomplishment for this school year has been?
You know, I would say that what I just referred to there. For a number of years, we struggled to get things to have sporting events with full crowds, to get out in the community. This community has been super supportive of our schools, and we feel that that we want our students to give back. We want them to be good citizens. And so we've been able to do a lot of community collaboration that we hadn't had in the past. I think, you know, everything from students at almost all of our schools, Christmas caroling downtown, to working with the fire department to get Christmas gifts for families that don't have them. Students working diligently to create Thanksgiving and Christmas food baskets. We had a fifth grade group knitting hats for the cancer patients at the cancer center. Those kind of things, while on the surface may not seem to be a big deal to education, we really think they are. We think that we spent a lot of time focusing on reading and writing and math skills, which is super, super important, but there are a lot of soft skills out there that are going to help our kids get jobs in the future and be good citizens. So we've been focusing on that, and our staff has done a super job of getting our kids out there.
Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District. It's 1258.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.